Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Shop, click, drive at robertsrobinson.com.
I guess I'll ask you to bear with me just a little bit on this episode of Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, as I'm fighting a little bit of a cold. So if you hear some pauses in the show, typically what would happen would be that would be a throat clearing or a cough or something like that. I'll take the microphone down. It'll be quiet. You won't hear it. But if you hear some little gaps here and there, stay with us. That's what's going on. Fighting the phlegm, I think, is the way to describe this in the throat, which is better than what I had a couple of weeks ago. I had that dry kind of coffee cough thing going on where you couldn't get anything up. Well, this is all loose, and I'll try not to gross you out in any way with the podcast. I don't feel bad, really. Just have a little bit of loose stuff in the throat. So on with it we go as we have such a sad tragedy in the United States and an epidemic of school shootings. This is the 27th school this semester in the United States that has had a gun fired. We know the horrific events of what took place in Uvalde, Texas. We know a little bit about the shooter. And I'll just start with this. There is not a lot I can add to this that you haven't consumed or seen somewhere else. I'm going to try to do it a little bit differently because I don't like these stories and I don't like talking about these stories and I certainly don't like leading with these stories. And by the time you listen to this podcast, you may be worn out about hearing about this story. It is an absolutely dreadful epidemic that we have in this country of crazy shooters going places and doing things to people with absolutely no way to defend themselves. None. Soft targets. It's an epidemic. And again, 27 schools, including Olathe, where a young man shot an administrator and a resource officer earlier this year. None died, and then the young man was shot. That counts. It's a school shooting. They're not all mass shootings. They're not all as bad as the one in Uvalde, Texas. They're not always this complicated or this sinister, this evil. But clearly there's a trend of guns in schools. And I don't, for the life of me, understand this. There's a lot of things we can do. Single point entries are very important. Perimeters around schools are important. Special student resource officers, police officers are very important. It is also very important to protect the Second Amendment in this country. It is a vital piece of the American experience, and I recognize that. I will not offer you some grand solution or plan. I'm not running for office. I don't have the answer to all this, but I know there are plenty of places. I sometimes just try to apply common sense. There are plenty of places in the United States that are secure. You're secure inside an airport, almost always. You're pretty darn secure inside a bank. Not always. Somebody could walk in and open fire in a bank. They could probably get away with that. But the bad guys know. They're not all completely suicidal. This guy couldn't have been completely suicidal because he had the body armor on. He barricaded himself and he tried to survive and was unable to. So you're probably suicidal for going and doing this. You know there's a great chance you're going to die. But it's not the first thing on your mind. The first thing on your mind is something far more evil than that. He shoots his grandmother. He gets in his car. He drives to the school. He goes in, picks on little kids and teachers inside a school that had no chance. I mean, absolutely no chance. It's an AR-15 style rifle, according to reports. Two of them were purchased legally when the shooter turned 18 years old. There were signs everywhere in the last 10 days or so on his social media footprint that he had magazines, that he was going to do something, that he was bragging. I don't know how we don't find that stuff. I will tell you something that you're not going to like today. I'm not going to give you my opinion. I mean, I will. You'll know my opinion, but I will tell you this about this situation. And my entire career, I've always said things that will make the audience uncomfortable. And that's about to happen right here. Whether it was a football team, and I was telling you, you know, the Chiefs got a bunch of thugs in there and they're dealing drugs in their locker room and there's nothing to like and this thing's running amok, or shining a light on things that were happening and, you know, you just loved your team and you didn't want to hear it. You don't want to know about it. You don't care. I felt like I was always the guy in the media in this town that told you the truth when the truth mattered. And I will tell you the truth here. The people on the left are crazy. the ones running around, you know, comparing this to abortion in some ways, or look, I'm not talking about the Hollywood celebrities. These people are unhinged. The things that they say about gun control and the Second Amendment and blood on Republicans' hands and things like that is nuts. But I will tell you this, because the same thing is happening with, again, it's such a difficult comparison. You can't hardly even speak the same words. But the things we get upset about in schools, critical race theory, teaching gender identification to 8-year-olds, and things of that nature, the things that we're mobilized about on the right, saying this won't stand, we're not going to have this, they're mobilized on the left, and they don't like guns. They don't like guns because the voting bloc. It really isn't about the violence or the death. The left doesn't care about people dying. They really don't. That's not their MO. Their MO is this is a massive voting bloc. They hate the NRA. They hate people who love the Second Amendment. They hate gun rights because they know those people are 80-some percent Republican voters. That's why they hate it, not because of what happened. So don't take my comments wrong here about why this gets played out and what it is that they're doing. I know these are evil people, and they're doing this for political gain, and it has nothing to do with the actual issue at hand. But the truth of the matter is, the more this happens, the more that it happens in schools, the more it's innocent little 7-, 8-, and 9-year-olds getting killed, the more Americans will swing and listen to what they're saying about controlling weapons in the United States. There is a pretty sane argument that even people on the right could hear, where they say, it's not legal for me to have a missile. I can't have missiles in my backyard. I can't build a missile silo and have missiles. But I can buy an AR-15 style rifle. And more Americans are asking why in the world anyone would need to buy an AR-15 style rifle. I understand what the Constitution says. I understand the Second Amendment. And I understand there's a lot of people living in a lot of places where you maybe really honestly feel like you have to have that for protection in your own home, to protect your property. And that is your right as an American citizen. What I'm telling you is, I don't have any answers on any of this. I don't. I'm not the smart enough guy to tell you how we solve this. I think the first thing we do is try to fortify the schools. I think single points of entry, perimeter fencing, and police officers in the school is the place to start. I think a deterrent to crime is always the best. I see places where there is no crime. We don't see a lot of people committing crimes in airports. We don't see a lot of people committing crimes in casinos. We don't see people committing crimes in banks. But we see crazy stuff at Walmart. We see crazy stuff in parking lots. We see crazy stuff everywhere. But the places that are known to have really taken the steps to prevent something bad from happening are pretty good at keeping things from happening. So that's where I start. In my opinion, that's where I start. Secondary to that is the types of weapons and just the sheer amount of ammo that some 18-year-old wacko in Uvalde, Texas can load up with and go to a school and open fire and shoot. And he's done that. And I'm going to tell you right now, even though you don't agree with it, more Americans will listen and say, that gun shouldn't be legal for an 18-year-old. More Americans will listen to that now than ever before. They will. I'm not talking about people who are in the gun debate. I'm talking about people who this is a back burner issue. That buying a gun is foreign to them. They don't have one. They're not hunters. They've never had guns in their house. It's foreign to them. It's a lot of the same people we see stepping up that it was foreign to them that things were going on in schools that we didn't know about. And so we see soccer moms stepping up and running for school boards. The same thing's about to happen here. People are going to ask the question, why should an 18-year-old be allowed to legally go buy a pair of these AR-15 style rifles? Why is that legal? Why can you not drink a beer? Or he can't buy a 12-pack, but he can go buy these guns. The other question is, why isn't there like a waiting period or something? Let's do a complete background check on this guy. Let's find out if there's anything out there. I think we're learning. I don't have all the details exactly right. I think we're learning he had basically dropped out of school. He had worked in fast food, but he'd lost that job. There were signs that the family structure was no good. He was living with grandparents. His parents were losers. He whether these are confirmed or not, we're starting to see a lot of things online that he may have been gay and did some cross-dressing and had this gender identification thing going, and people were bullying him and picking on him, and he spoke with a lisp, and they made fun of him for having a lisp, that this was a kid that felt alienated, isolated, all of those things. These are very, very easy things to find out. When somebody walks in and says, I want to buy two AR-15 style rifles on my 18th birthday, doesn't seem hard. Maybe there ought to be a 2-week waiting period. Maybe you allow them to apply 2 weeks before your 18th birthday. Fine. But there can't be that many of these things being purchased all the time. There certainly can't be that many being bought in Uvalde, Texas. A town of what? What'd they say? 15,000 people? 80 miles from San Antonio? There has to be a mechanism in place where we go, okay, who's buying these? And let's go check them out. Let's dig into their background a little bit. This story is the same every time. It's a troubled youngster with a mental health problem, real crisis, that we're going to find out. There's no question we're going to find out that a lot of people knew that this person was not, I hate to use this word, it's not proper to use it, but this person was not normal. This person did not fit in. A lot of people thought they knew him, but you know what? I saw a kid interviewed, said, he was in my school 2 years ago, but I haven't seen him in 2 years. So I don't think he's been in school. He just kind of disappeared. Isolated, alienated, warning signs everywhere. We have to do better on that front. I'm not sitting here trying to say we got to take guns away from people. I believe in the Second Amendment, and I believe in the right to bear arms. I absolutely believe in that. I also think it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world to say, unless you're in the military or some sort of professional training, you probably shouldn't be able to go buy an AR-15 until you're 21. I don't know if that changes if this guy's wacko at 21. I don't know if he gets it illegally. You know, a lot of these things are purchased illegally. There's reports that these were purchased legally. That's going to fit right into the narrative of what the Democrats are going to do with this. I'm just telling you that regular folks, regular Americans out here, most of whom don't really have guns or care to have a gun, are looking at this going, that isn't right. Being able to buy that weapon isn't right. That isn't what the Second Amendment is. A lot of people think of the Second Amendment as personal protection. Maybe you could have a, and listen, if you could buy a shotgun to go hunting, you could certainly load yourself up with a couple of shotguns and go into the school and do all kinds of damage. It's not going to stop it. I'm only telling you because you've consumed all the news on this event. I can't add anything. I can't say anything about the evil nature of this person, the mental health status of this person. I can't add anything to that discussion. What I can say is I think a lot of Americans will begin asking, how is this possible? How can, at age 18, someone this isolated, this unstable, go buy a couple of AR-15 assault rifles, the magazines that go with them, and go into a school and do this? I'm not even saying that's right or wrong. I'm not making an argument either way. I just think the common sense of the American people is going to be, how do we have a system where this happens? I think it's a reasonable question to ask. I'm not trying to take an AR-15 style rifle from anyone. I'm not trying to say you can't have it. But we always, it's the same thing. These guys are, they're always really young. We know how hard school was. I felt bullied in junior high. My worst years were age 13, 14, 15. It was horrific. I hated it. It was awful. I was like the last one to puberty. Everyone was taller. My friends had hair under their arm. We got all this, you get teased, all this stuff. It was awful. It was a dreadful time. I was the last one to ever talk to a girl, scared to death, you know. And was I bullied, picked on? Sure, probably. You grow out of that phase. We're seeing so many of these high school age kids now that social media is so mean. It's so devastating to them. It is their world. Whether we can identify with that or not doesn't matter. Like, my children have always asked me, how do you put up with all this crap and the hate and stuff on social media? I said, well, I don't read it. But you can't be 18 in the United States today and not read what other people are saying about you. They're not young enough to process it and say, look, that's not good for me. I'm not reading that. It doesn't matter what those people think. We've created this culture. This is way deeper than buying an assault rifle. It's way deeper than one point of entry or a police officer. You know, this, I'm going to be willing to bet that this young person that did this at age 18 has been playing violent, I mean really violent, shoot 'em up, bloody, massacre-style video games for at least 7 or 8 years. It's almost a given that that's been happening. We know what Hollywood produces. These are the same people that blame Republicans. We know what they produce for entertainment. We know what it is they do. They target young viewers, young moviegoers, and it's violent. And they glorify it. And a hero goes through a movie and kills 40 people in the movie, and he's the hero. We know what happens. This is not good for human society. It's not. None of this is good for us. None of this is good for us. I don't like propaganda. I don't like fake news. But you know what? Producing entertainment and content that shows the good side of human life, good over bad, simple principles, good stories, honest people, there's value in that. Just like there's bad value in something that does just the opposite, that glorifies, you know, these whacked out criminals. People who dress up like the Joker for Halloween and act like a, you know, we had a serial killer problem in this country. You guys remember we had this in the 70s and the 80s. We had a terrible serial killer problem in this country. And we got very serious about identifying the traits of those serial killers and what they are and how they act. And it's really curbed compared to what it used to be. Maybe these people have just turned into the people who are just going to go randomly shoot a place up all in one hail of bullets and fire and glory. Maybe that's what they're doing now. But we've stemmed the situation that we've had in so many ways with serial killers because it became something very important. There has to be a way to do this. There has to be a way. I think we start with single points of entry, locked doors, buzz-in systems, the whole thing. Real perimeters around schools. And there is no excuse to send, I agree with the people who said there's no excuse to send $40 billion last week to Ukraine when we could have taken $40 billion and put how many officers at every school in America? How many well-trained police officers could we put at every single public school in America with that $40 billion? A lot. And we could protect our kids. And the people on the left are wrong. They say, oh, we can't have that. You know, the police are threatening and they have guns and this is harmful to kids. No, what's harmful to kids is to not protect them with trained personnel. We send them off to school. Let's give them a chance. Let's give them a chance to be in a locked up place that's safe, that doesn't feel like a prison, that has a couple, really, should be two. Should be two armed officers at all times because at some point one of them's going to have lunch or go to the bathroom or whatever. There should be two. Somebody should be by the, there should be one entry into every school once school's in session, one entry, and there should be a police officer there at all times. I believe in these things. I know how fervent many of you are about the Second Amendment and these assault rifles, and I shouldn't call it that because they're not assault rifles. I know there's AR-15 style rifles is what they're now referring to these as. But the public opinion is going to shift. It's going to shift. It's going to shift against these weapons. I'm just telling you, it is. And the only real way to keep it from shifting against these weapons being legal is to have a better system of owning them that catches the bad guys. I don't have that answer. I don't know that. But this seemed too easy. 18th birthday, he buys two of them, he shoots up a school, his life's over, that's that. And there are signs everywhere that this guy's off his rocker, which is the same thing every single time. He literally had classmates at school said, I haven't seen him in 2 years. It's a small town. He just disappeared, isolated. These are easy things to track. If some of the pictures and things that we've seen from his social media footprint and the internet about him are true, these are things that somebody somewhere in the government should be looking at and say, okay, this person wants to buy these AR-15 style rifles. It only takes for people in the media, what, 2 hours to find all this stuff? Not even. Their issue's the verification of it. I mean, they knew within minutes of all this stuff that was posted and out there. The footprint's there. It's easy to find. Even if it's been deleted, you can go back and find it. They wait on reporting that information because they have to verify it. They're not sure it's him. They're not sure this. They're very, very careful about that. And they should be. But authorities, see, they wouldn't have to be. You know, the person whose job it is to look into this Salvador Ramos that wants to buy a couple of AR-15 style rifles, you're in the government, you're looking into it, and you're like, okay, don't approve that yet. Let's just kick this can down the road a little while, and let's go check into Mr. Ramos a little bit more. Just by looking at what he's all about and what his situation is. How many lives does it save? I don't know. I was astounded to hear that this semester, 27 different schools have had shots fired. 27 different schools in America, including Olathe East. I can't add anything to the actual tragedy and what the families are going through. I have no idea. I have a couple friends who lost children. Not like this. It's just, I can't even, there's nothing I can add. Absolutely nothing I can add. All I know is we can do better. If we stop talking about it, put down our partisan stuff, get together and say what we really want to do is make it safe to go to school, that can be done. That can be done, but it's going to take give and take on both sides. It will. It's going to take that, and it's time for that to happen. All right, there were primaries in several states on Tuesday, and the headline for me isn't Purdue lost the primary to Kemp, the governor of Georgia, which would have been the biggest story had the shooting not happened. Would have been the biggest story in America. Oh, Trump's a loser. This guy lost. Never had a chance. He just didn't like Kemp, so he wanted to help and, you know, do whatever. Trump's record is still good. He had a ton of candidates everywhere win. What we're seeing and what's very interesting in these states now that have put out new laws, you know, they've enacted new laws with voter ID, but a lot of them are just streamlining the thing. Democrats will say it makes it harder to vote. It's racist. The voter laws are very simple. You get one vote. We're going to identify you. You get to vote. You can vote however you want. It's open to everybody that's a citizen. And that's that. The headline here in all of these primaries is the massive turnout. There is not a state anywhere with new voter laws that they say are restrictive or racist or whatever. They're all through the roof. The turnout's through the roof. Mostly on the Republican side, where we're seeing a lot of places where it's doubled. Like twice as many Republicans turning out in the primary compared to even 2020, which was a presidential cycle. Now, the primary was uninteresting because it was just Trump. But there were other offices in 2020 that people voted for. There were states that had governors or senators or things that you would go vote in a primary for. And the Republicans are just blowing everything out of the water. It's like double. It's like twice. We know there has been a shift. Some people believe it is as much as a 9% shift in this country from Democrat to Republican, just generically, 9% from Democrat to Republican over the last year and a half, since the last election, really, that Americans have seen this and gone, just like we did in the late 70s with Jimmy Carter, that ain't working. That's not what we're doing. I'll vote for the other guy. And we're seeing that shift. Elon Musk is the most famous of them all. He's out there saying it. He said, nope, can't do what these people are doing. Can't do that to people. And it does appear and feel like for most Americans that Joe Biden doesn't care about inflation. He doesn't care about gas prices. He doesn't care about Americans hurting. It will just make them more reliant on the government. He doesn't care about your 401k shrinking. He doesn't care if you have to work longer before retirement. He doesn't care about any of the things that Americans think about every day because it puts them in a position where they believe you will need them to bail you out. Like they did during COVID, they send you a check. There's this program. There's that program. We're here to help. That's their game plan. And I think Americans are onto it. And I think the voting turnout that's been so outstanding really, really demonstrates that. I'm excited for that. We got a whopper. Missouri's going to be a huge state here coming up later this summer nationally. They're going to be looking at this Senate race in Missouri. It'll be interesting to see if Trump picks somebody There's a poll out last week that Greitens is leading, despite his personal problems, that he is leading. There's a camp of people that believe Greitens can win the primary, but not the general. I don't know that that's the case. I believe, even if Greitens won the primary, I believe he would win the general election, but I don't know it for sure. I'm pretty sure the other candidates would. There might be some women that say, you know what, that's just slimy enough that I'm not voting. And remember, staying home and not voting is almost as bad as going and voting for the other guy. If you have women that stay home that think Eric Greitens is a slime ball, he could lose. So it becomes very interesting to see who Trump chooses later this summer. I think Missouri is going to be a wild national primary contest later this summer, and we'll look forward to that, probably making some really, really big news. If you live in Missouri or Kansas or really anywhere in the Midwest, Window World can help improve the value of your home, provide you with a lifetime warranty on American-made doors, windows, and siding at a cost that will be surprisingly low for you. Window World's a proud sponsor of Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. They are simply the best for less. They're the official windows of the Kansas City Chiefs. They have 0% financing available right now, and they'll come straight to your home no matter where you live. Be a couple hours from Kansas City. They'll come right to you. Free analysis and estimate. They will drive away and leave it up to you. You make your decision. No pressure, no hassle. Customer service is top of the list here with Window World. They mean it. They mean what they say. Simply the best for less. Can't do any better than replacement windows, doors, patio doors, screen doors, siding for your home. Window World, online at windowskansascity.com. Cross Kitchens, KC, Tim is getting a nice response from many of you. I've received some emails from some of you that said you've met with Tim and Kevin. It's the truth. He's the real deal. He comes out, gives you complete attention, full attention to your project, is totally open and honest, and you're going to like Tim. And you know what? If you're going to put the money into your home and create a space in your house, typically the kitchen, if you're going to create a new space in your house to completely change and transform your living experience in your home that you love so much, if you're going to trust one person with that, you need to find the right person. And it shouldn't be somebody that comes out that's like a sales rep from a company. And yeah, well, you'll have a supervisor and you know the owner's on vacation in the Bahamas, but you know, blah, blah, blah. No, that's not Tim. Tim's it. This is his business. You're talking to the man. He's coming out. He's a craftsman. He cares. You're really going to enjoy this experience. If you are going or even thinking about remodeling your home, crosskitchenskc.com is, well, all I ask you is meet with him and see how it goes. That's all I ask. Give him a shot. Give him a shot to earn your business. Kitchen remodeling, countertop replacement, floor refinish, crosskitchenskc.com. OBStock's on fire with the laptops this week. Asus computers, which are about number five, okay, in sales. But I trust Chris. He says this is an unbelievably good computer. They're brand new laptops for $739, sealed in the box, Windows 10 professional operating system, half price. It's a 10th generation Intel chip powered laptop. It's basically half price at $739. Asus laptops right now at bstock.net. or visit them at 14680 South Flaming Road. When I say flaming, South Flaming Road, that's the name of the road that B-Stock is on. I just think of the Royals when I hear the word flaming. Like a dumpster fire would be flaming. Like, I don't know, the leaves in your backyard would be flaming. Whatever it may be, the Royals are that hot mess. They've lost six in a row. Gave up four homers on Tuesday night. They have the third worst record in Major League Baseball. They have the worst in the American League. The Royals have only won three series this entire year. They've been shut out five times. They've given up a worst 37 runs in the first inning. This is 5 years in a row the season has started almost identically. Last year they got off to a little hotter start before it cooled, and they were well under 500 at this point. The difference this year, their runs scored are way down from the other years, which means not only do they stink and they are 14 and 28 and their season is over, it means they're unwatchable. Is it fun to watch MJ Melendez hit that big home run he hit last night? Yes. And he definitely gave the Royals a lead when he did it. And that was exciting, but you know, they're going to lose the game. You know, what's going to happen. Clark's going to come in, give up three runs. in a five-run sixth or seventh inning. Royals are going to go home loser again. Swept in a two-game series by the Diamondbacks. Day off today, and then Minnesota. Twins are good. Twins are in first place. Royals are in last place. How will that go? I've got a pretty good idea how it will go. Look, MJ Melendez, I think, stays in the lineup when Salvi comes back. I think you can rotate him. I think Melendez can catch every third day. When he's not, it looks to me like he should be the DH. Ryan O'Hearn shouldn't be on this team. Carlos Santana shouldn't be on this team. There's a lot of players shouldn't be on this team. They're going to trade parts. There's a chance they'll trade Benintendi. There's a chance they trade Whit Merrifield. There's a chance they'll trade a lot of guys, and they need it. Don't get attached to your favorite player. They could trade Zach Greinke if he continues to pitch well. There's a lot of things that could happen here with the Royals that could lead to something better down the road. But that road is a long road, and it's not this year. I just hope. I never want to root against my team. I don't like watching the Royals and sit there and go, oh, I hope they lose. It's never like that. What we can't have is like the last 50 games of the year, the Royals to go 30-20. And for ownership to go, oh, okay, it's coming together now. Because that's just so Royals-y. Oh, yeah, they finished strong. They got it figured out. This needs a rework. This is different than, you don't have to wait until November of 2024 to have an election on the Royals. Okay? Like if the White House right now were a sports team, you could blow that thing up and get rid of all of them and start over. And we'd be better off. We got to wait until November of 24 for that. The Royals don't have to wait. So why would you wait? This is the end of an era. It's 5 years in a row at the 1/4 mark. The Royals are among a handful of the worst teams in baseball. And if you've done that 5 years in a row with the same people, and the owner's been here now for parts of three of those 5 years, it's clearly time for a change. Clearly time for a change. Not that there aren't pieces you don't like. Brady Singer's looking good right now. MJ Melendez, Bobby Witt. There's some young parts and some pieces that you look at and you like, and you go, okay. But by and large, there's no depth on this roster. Somebody gets hurt, and we got players playing we've never heard of, and they're no good. And there's really not anybody stepping up that says, I'm a winner. I'm going to take care of this. Barlow, you think is maybe your best reliever. He got blown around and knocked out of a game, and it just doesn't exist. There's no winning here. There's no winners. These guys don't know how to win. They're in a lot of games. They have a couple, three different leads last night. They don't win. I went to bed. I turned it off. I didn't watch all of it. It was on late. I didn't watch it all. I knew they'd lose. I get up in the morning and check. I'm like, yeah, they lost. Of course they lost. It's what the Royals do. They give up 4 home runs and lost. Sad, sad, sad situation. Finch Knife Company is online at finchknifeco.com. Keep life from getting dull with Finch Knives. Available at the Bullet Hole in Mission, Shields in Overland Park, Teague Tractor in Belton, or online at finchknifeco.com. They are currently featuring the 1934 series of pocket knives that are an homage to the Smoky Mountain National Park. Magical blue hazes created by vegetation, rainfall, and sunlight have led to one of America's great crown jewels, the Smoky Mountain National Park. And these knives reflect all of the beautiful colors and tones of that park. Check them out online, finchknifeco.com. The Bluemont Hotel in Manhattan, right between Aggieville and campus on the corner there. A great boutique experience hotel, if you will, locally owned and operated, not a chain, not sterile. This is a fun place to stay if you're going to Manhattan on business, or if you're going for a fun weekend or a bachelor party or some kind of trip out. We took a 50th birthday trip out to Manhattan last year for my friend you can't mention on the podcast who played Colbert Hills and the whole deal. What a great place to stay. JJ's the general manager there. She's going to make sure that you feel comfortable every single time you're there. They love repeat guests. They love having people who do business on a regular basis in Manhattan have that become their home away from home. So check it out. It's the Bluemont Hotel and Goolsby's Restaurant and Indoor Entertainment Center. Maybe you're in Manhattan for a day going to Colbert Hills to play golf or something like that. Swing by Goolsby's afterwards. They have 30 beer taps on the wall that you can pour your own. They also have indoor entertainment, duck pin bowling, golf simulators, indoor golf. You can hunt ducks, pigs, aliens. They have a home run derby contest, field goal kicking. Cool place, Goolsby's Restaurant and Indoor Entertainment Center at the Bluemont Hotel in Manhattan. And Buck Roofing and Construction online at rbuckroofing.com. You'll sleep well knowing Buck Roofing fixed the roof over your head. Well, there were some hockey players didn't care much about the roof over their head. Have you heard the story about the Florida Panthers? Florida Panthers were playing in the playoffs against the Tampa Bay Lightning. And they were down 3-0. And, you know, you lose the fourth, it's over. So they know they're toast. They're playing back-to-back games in the playoffs. Back-to-back games. They lose the third game and decide to go out and party knowing their season is pretty much over. And this is their last night as a team to go do something fun. They're probably going to lose the next night. Let's have a last call, shall we? And they went out for a last call at a strip club in Tampa, and they stayed out until 3 a.m. And then there were some social media posts, and people knew they were there, and it got out, and a sports radio host in Tampa busted this thing out on his midday show, and it is a good get as a media member, a good get on a story like that. They went out and lost the fourth game, of course, and the series is over. They got swept. They must have been hungover dogs. There were reports that they stayed until 3 a.m. when it was closing and then bought bottles and took the bottles with them. Like they went back to the hotel to keep partying or something and then went and played a hockey game that night. Woo! Wow. Rough way to go out for the Florida Panthers. There's probably some people in hockey that think that's okay. I don't because I just the competitive side of sports to me matters too much. I'm okay with the guys living their life. They didn't do anything illegal. They were responsible. Nobody drove drunk. They had drivers, the whole thing. It just really sullies the sport, if you ask me. If you're sitting there in a playoff series and you're giving up after 3 games going, well, that's that. Let's go out and tie one on tonight. And that is indeed what they did. And it got out. It's a bad look for the Florida Panthers. Tampa Bay Lightning move on. Maybe you'd like to move on this weekend to a golf course near you and play some golf. The weather's going to be great. GreatLifeKC.com is Kansas City's premier golf and fitness memberships, really for any level of golfer. You get a classic membership, which is good at 6 courses for one low price. Not a big fee to get in or anything like that. Clubs from Leavenworth to Blue Springs. This is for an individual or your family or your company. Classic memberships available at GreatLifeKC.com or just call them and ask about their different clubs and what may be a good fit for you and your family. 913-802-4552. Don't think traditional country clubs. Don't think Kansas City Country Club or Hallbrook or one of these snobby places. It's not what they are. Canyon Farms, Falcon Ridge, Prairie Highlands, Staley Farms, they're all, just think of them as like a Costco membership. That's what more of this is like. But these are really great golf courses. Really great. Without the stuffy country club nonsense. If you live in the Wichita area, the Tallgrass Club is part of this chain. Or if you're at the Lake of the Ozarks, Osage National is part of this. GreatLifeKC.com. Good friends of the show. Gary Joslin and his team at Joslin's Jewelry, 95th and Antioch, online at joslinsjewelry.com. It's the jewelry you'll recommend to your friends and family. Give them a check out at 95th and Antioch. And NKC Dental. Dr. Bill Bush is my new dentist. He should be your new dentist, too. Really a tremendous practice. He's your new dentist. NKCDental.com. Just north of the river or in Westwood in Kansas, on the Kansas side, West Plaza. Dr. Bill Bush is really something else at NKC Dental. Finish with a little celebrity news here. See, when we named it Sports, Politics, and Life, it gives you the opportunity to do whatever you want at the end. And I thought I'd segue from the drunk Tampa Bay hockey players to another legendary substance user or addict or whatever you want to say, but a person that's wildly popular. Most people just like him for what he is. And that is Steven Tyler, the lead man of Aerosmith, the rock band. Steven Tyler is back in rehab. Sounds like this one's a little different than when he was in his 20s or 30s. This is oh so common. We don't have the details, but it seems fairly easy to predict what happened here. Steven Tyler had foot surgery and went on pain medication for foot surgery. They were getting ready to start a residency in Vegas, and he had to have the surgery before that and rehab the foot. And I don't know, maybe it's a lie, maybe it's fake, who knows. But I tend to believe him. This is an older guy. They're starting a Vegas residency. He's excited about that. Sounds right to me. You get the pain pills, you get hooked on them. He has voluntarily checked himself into rehab and is trying to get off whatever it is that he's on. The band didn't say exactly what that is. They canceled their residency in Las Vegas, which is disappointing to some. Steven Tyler was a host on one of these shows, American Idol, or one of them here a few years ago. He's been on a couple of sitcoms. He's just a very popular and likable guy because he's sort of the stereotype of what a rock star is. Not to glamorize it or anything, but we wish him the best. I would root for Steven Tyler to be healthy and get into rehab and get back and perform. Aerosmith is not my exact cup of tea. I like a few of their songs. I like him, I guess. He hasn't hurt anybody, to my knowledge. And we will wish him the best. This is a phenomenon. You know, my favorite is Tom Petty, and he basically it was the painkillers. I don't know which one it was, from a hip surgery that they left him at home, and he was taking them, and then he didn't remember if he took them, and you take some more, and whoop, all of a sudden you're in the hospital, and he never made it out of the hospital alive. It's a shame. These prescription pills are nasty, and they are apparently a wild ride and fun, and for addictive personalities, can absolutely lead to death very, very quickly. Just a few days after you get your prescription, they can lead to death. You have to be very, very careful with those things. If that's what it is, I don't know what it is with Steven Tyler. They didn't say exactly, but they referenced a foot surgery and that he'd like to get back and do that. I think an Aerosmith t-shirt would be a cool thing to have. I'd wear an Aerosmith t-shirt to Lake Fort Scott this weekend and sit on the dock with that. Oh, I got a couple special t-shirts this year for my lake appearance Memorial Day weekend. I've got the Let's Go Brandon shirt. That will be wildly popular in Fort Scott. I have a Fender guitar t-shirt that I like. I have a Livingston, Montana golf course t-shirt that I got this year. These are all new. I like to break out the new t-shirt Memorial Day weekend for a lake trip or a pool party or whatever it is, because it's a lot of your same friends. You can't go wearing the t-shirt you wore last year. You got to bust out something new. I got a couple of special little shirts. I'll take some pictures. We'll get them up online. And I'll probably take some Kevin Keatsman Has Issues t-shirts and hand them out down there. Some of the nice folks in Fort Scott. If you would like to get your hands on a KKHI t-shirt or trucker cap or a sweatshirt, log on to miserssports.com. It's interesting sometimes when you're a podcast host and you give out your email. I literally had a guy send me an email and said, I can't find miserssports.com. And in the email, he spelled it out perfectly. I said, well, try putting a www in front of it, .miserssports.com. There are two S's. It's MiserssSports, miserssports.com. Daryl will hook you up. His phone number's on there. You can see everything they do at Miser Sports. And this all benefits heroesamonguskc.org. It's a great organization. Daryl's very involved in it. We applaud him for that. And we thank him for providing shirts for anybody that wants them. And if you buy one, the money goes straight to heroesamonguskc.org. There is no money for Daryl, no money for me, nothing like that. It all goes to heroesamonguskc.org. So buy a KKHI t-shirt and give it away this summer to somebody who likes to go to the pool or cut grass or whatever. These t-shirts are perfect for that. They're the soft kind. They're not the crunchy, hard kind. They're the soft t-shirts. They're great in the summertime. Miserssports.com. Or dial 816-741-8622. Daryl's a good dude. You will like chatting with him, and you will be proud to wear the Kevin Keatsman Has Issues t-shirt. I'd be honored if you got one and helped out heroesamonguskc.org. All right, thanks for listening today. Don't forget to hit the like or follow button or share with your friends anywhere you go. It's your buddy, Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. To get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.